first epistle of Peter, chapter number 2, and we will parade and peruse the periphery of verse 1 through 9. Very familiar scripture. And man, I believe I heard mention of it this morning in Sunday school. Part of it, amen. When you have that, I want you to say, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even unto them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are chosen, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, and that ye should show forth his praise, the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. May God have blessed those hearers and doers of his word. The grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. I want to use for a thought, a title, a tag, topic to this particular message, what we need to grow. Some things that we need to grow that you'll find in the text today. Amen. Amen. We all know who Peter is, right? Amen. Amen. This is the Apostle Peter. And we know that Peter was one of the disciples. He was Andrew's brother. He was one of the early disciples of Jesus Christ. Peter is well known by preachers to. They always talk about how Peter denied Christ. They always talk about how Peter would cuss you and cut you, because that's what he did. He cursed while he was at the fire when Jesus told him, you're going to deny me. And they tried to say, yeah, you one of them. And he cursed and said he wasn't. All right? He would lie and cuss and cut you. And he also cut off a man's ears right before that, because he was trying to cut his head off and the man ducked and he cut off his ear. So Peter was kind of a brawler. He was always a hothead and he always speak up first before anybody else. But that was pre-Pentecost Peter. And we seem to talk about pre-Pentecost Peter a lot. But post-Pentecost Peter stood up and preached one sermon. And 3,000 people got saved in one day from one message. A lot of times we glorify the pre-Pentecost because we try to equate ourselves to him and say, well, you know, he had faults and we got them too. But the mature Peter could walk by and the shadow of Peter was causing people to be healed. Y'all don't hear me here. The post-Pentecost, the mature Peter could go up on a housetop and pray and end up in the spirit and then obeyed what God said, and people in a house that was praying, God answered their prayer because he was willing to go. My comparison here is that sometimes we act like pre-Pentecost people because we say we follow Jesus, but then we cutting people ear off. Now they don't want to hear us. We cursing and we lying and we trying to warm at the enemy's fire. Come on and say, man. That's pre. That's immature. But what about the mature Peter? What about the one that was changed came back after he was beaten. He stopped doing the beating and he went and he got beaten. He came back and said, Lord, thank you that I was able to be beaten because I believed in you. What about that Peter? We forget about that. We talk about the Peter that said, I go fishing. I'm going back to fishing since Jesus is gone. But they forget about that same Peter who that he didn't mumble when he was put in jail. Or the same Peter that decided to say, you know, we're going to kill you. And he said, well, look, if you're going to put me on the cross, I ain't worthy to die the same way my master died. Hang me upside down. A mature Peter. Hallelujah. But we always make a big deal about his immaturities because it makes us feel better about ours. Y'all don't hear me. That's the main reason we do it, preachers do it, because it makes us feel all right when we get mad at people and we want to act like Peter. But there is no excuse because the Holy Ghost that grew Peter up, we got him too. Amen. Y'all still here? The same Holy Spirit that had him on the rooftop and told him, don't call unclean what I made clean, is still here speaking to us the same way. The same one that had him so anointed that his shadow could heal folks is still here, and he's still in the healing business. Y'all still with me here? Y'all check that on me. But we need some things to grow, and who else could tell us other than Peter? Who else can tell us better than somebody who's been through it all before? See, the many of us, we go through our trials and tribulation, and when you read the epistle here, he begins by talking about people who've been scattered, people who've been through some stuff, and the pains of the world had attacked them, and they had to flee from those things that they were attacked that attacked them. And so sometimes that's what we do. Instead of us facing our trouble, we try to flee from it, not knowing that we still got to go through. And when you try to run from it, you think you're running from it only to run to something else. And as long as you live, you will always have to go through something. But it's how we handle things when we go through it. Peter didn't handle it right the first time. He cut the man's ear off. Now, when they came and arrested him, he just went along. And because he went along, I'm just giving you a little bit of what happened with Peter. Because he went along, they put him in the same jail. Listen to this. They put him in the same jail that prior to him going to jail, they put James in there, and James died. They killed James. Now, I don't know. God is sovereign. I don't know why he let James die and Peter didn't. But God can do what he wants to do. Now, when he was in jail, check this out. He was in jail this time. Now, before he ran to escape jail. Because he didn't want to be arrested with Jesus. But this time he went willingly. And when he went in jail, the Bible says he went to sleep. See, that's the problem with many of us. When you're immature, you can't sleep when things going on. We got to learn how to say, you know what, I'm going to take my rest tonight. Because ain't nothing I can do about it. And if I can't do nothing about it, I just give it over to the Lord and let him handle it. When you're mature, you let God handle what. Look, if you can't change people, you can't make them stop. You can't make them like you. You can't make them pray for you. You just got to say, I ain't worried about that. I'm just giving it over to the Lord. You can't change that. And so I'm going to go to sleep. Look, you know what? I used to say when people cause trouble in folks' house and they be calling, talking about what's going on, I say, you know what? They mess your house up. Now they home sleep. And here y'all up all night long arguing and fussing and can't sleep and sitting up walking the halls. Why you can't sleep and the people who cause the mess at home sleep? I ain't going to let the devil have that victory. I'm going on to bed. And tomorrow we'll figure out whatever the Lord has for us to do. It'll get done. But Peter went to jail. Look how Peter handled this. Peter went to jail and he went to sleep. He got awakened in the night by an angel. He wasn't even praying. But an angel came to see about it. See, that goes to show you that God knows where you are. You ain't got to tell him where you are. God, I'm over here and they're doing this. No, you ain't got to tell him. He already knows where you are. And he knows your level. He knows if you're mature enough to handle it or not. And some of y'all talking about an angel. You wanted, if an angel came, you'd be so spooked and scared you couldn't have faith enough to believe what the angel said. Okay. But Peter, he said, get up and put your clothes on. He told Peter, put his clothes on. We want God to do it all. We sit there and cry because we're immature. You know how okay, how many of you got children? You ever got to where a child decided they didn't want to do something and they cried and they laid out and you say, put your clothes on, you end up putting the clothes on them?
Yeah.
That's how we are in our immature state. We want God to do it all. We don't want, I'm going to just talk to you for a few minutes. I might yell at you a little while later. But we want God to do it all. We don't want to do nothing for ourselves. And God has put the ability in us. He said we can do it. It's in us. The power that works in us, we can do it. But we don't want to do it. We want God to do it. God moved us. God said, you can move it yourself. God, help me to forgive. God said, I told you to forgive.
Amen.
Help me to stop lying. God said, shut your mouth. I mean, I'm saying some of us, we had diarrhea of the mouth, constipation of the brain. We don't think, we just open our mouth and run it. But the Bible says for us to do twice the listening. He said, be swift to hear and slow to speak. He gave us two ears and one mouth. So that means I need to listen twice as much as I do talking. So Peter, the angel told him, and let me get back to this. So I got to get out my introduction so I can get in the meat of it. The angel told him, he said, get up, put your clothes on. And the angel took him out of the prison and nobody saw him. See, what we want is when everybody see us in a bad situation, you got to quit wanting everybody to see you come out of it. Peter came out, nobody saw him. They didn't even believe he was out when he got out. Y'all don't hear me. See, you want people to see you come out because they saw you go in, but it don't matter if they see you come out. When you mature, they ain't got to see me blessed yet. I know what God is doing on the other side. They don't have to see all the stuff I got. Lord, show them. And so that when I look at them, I can just smile and say, see what God. No, God, I don't want them to see yet. Because if they see now, then they can go lie about it. But when I show up at the door, y'all don't hear me now. Peter came out, he went through, he led him out of the prison. Nobody saw him being blessed and led out of the prison. And that's what we got to get in. If you're mature, you realize that I ain't got to be seen by everybody. Everybody ain't got to know what's going on with me. I don't have to tell everybody, see, I'm coming out, I'm going through, I've been there. You ain't got to tell everybody. You know what? People will know that you went in, because let me tell you something, everybody know your business anyway. They're already talking about you anyhow. So you ain't got to try to explain yourself. You don't have to try to tell them how it is. You don't have to try to talk them out of what they think it is. Let them believe what they want to believe, because my day is coming that when the angels show up and I wake up and I dress myself, what am I supposed to dress in? I'm supposed to put on the whole armor of God. That's putting on Christ. I need to put on my clothes that I'm supposed to wear. I wish I had somebody. Put on the garment of praise. Take off the garment of heaviness and come out of where you are. The angel led him out. I'm talking about Peter, the writer of this letter. The angel led him out. And when they got to the gate, y'all don't hear this now. You see, when we got to the gate opened on its own accord. Y'all don't hear that. See, we've been worrying about the doors that's been shut and what got us bound up in our limitations. But Peter showed up at the gate, and the gate opened. All I'm saying now, I want you to think about this. When you're mature and you know you've been free, come on and say, man, you walk up to some situation that seemed to limit you, and you realize that that situation can't limit you because of who you are and because of the purpose that God has on your life. And so if you look at the purpose that God has on your life, that in itself would open up every gate and take away all limitations and every door that'll be open for you. But you got to be mature enough to know that I can't cry at the gate, because I was in a worse position than this. I was down in the jail. But since I came out of the jail, I ain't gonna let the gate stop me, because I wasn't supposed to get through that. But now that I'm at the gate opens up by itself. I wish I had somebody. And everybody know already the reason why the door is open is because of positioning. You ain't got to put your hand to the door. Walk up to Walmart. If you get in the right spot, that door will open. All I'm trying to tell you is if you get in the right spot, if you get in the right spot, if you get in the right spot, God said the door will open up for you. If you just believe and trust me and have a mature mind, God will open it up and let you go. And look at this. There's no limitation of where you can go once the gate is open. You can choose your path. God, listen, somebody said, well, I want only that one thing that God has for me. Do you know God gives you options? I wish people would stop saying that God got one thing. God gives you options. You know how I know? David said he leads me in the path, P-A-T-H-S, of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, once Peter got out, look at this. He went to John Mark's mama house. John Mark, who wrote the gospel according to Mark, based on Peter's account. He went there because they were having prayer meeting for him to get out of jail, that they wouldn't kill him like they did James. And when Peter showed up at the house and knocked, Rhoda went to the door and wouldn't open it because she thought they had already killed him. And said, oh, his spirit done showed up. Now, the thing about this is that was the place where they were having church. That was the house that they had church in and they had prayer meeting in. And he went, when he got through, he came to the place of worship. Y'all don't hear that. When we come out, we go have a party. Huh? When we come out, we through with them in words, you know. We ain't going back. That's how we act. But Peter went to the place where they were praying to show them that your prayers have been answered. Amen. And we got to get to a place to where we show up with people who we know are praying for us so we can show them that prayers have been answered. Amen. Quit thinking that it's a lot of people. Look, it's more people for you than there are against you. But we make the mistake in our immaturity worrying about the one or two that ain't for us. Don't worry about that. But the people that ain't for us, don't worry about that. We got plenty of people that's for us. The Bible said that Paul was going into a city and he was thinking that there ain't nobody there. And then Jesus spoke to him and told me, he said, I got much people in this city. Now, they wasn't going to church, but he said, all I need is somebody to speak on my behalf. And when you do, they gonna all come to me because I already got their minds ready and right. See, sometimes we need to know that God has it under control. And if we just do what God wants us to do, then he'll work it out. Tell somebody, he already preaching. Now, when Peter wrote this to people who, as I said, were going through, and he says that to these folks, he says that we need the first thing we need to do is to lay aside some things. Lay aside hindrances. That's the problem we have. We have a hard time laying aside hindrances because we let them attach themselves to us so much that we think it's part of us. We think that's part of our attire, part of our life, what we ought to be carrying. And we don't realize you're carrying a load that you should not even be carrying to begin with. He said, lay aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings. He said, look, there's a whole bunch of stuff that you mess yourself up with. He said, you mess yourself up with because how you act, the stuff that you get your own self into. That's the first part of that. The stuff that you get into. Then the second part of that is that you can't be real. You can't be real with God. He said, he that worship him must worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. You got to tell the truth about yourself. And you quit fooling yourself talking about, you know, I know I'm like, oh, you lying. You know you drinking. You know you smoking. Come on, you know you be hypocrite trying to make people believe that you were what you ain't. Don't do that. Just say, hey, look, Lord, I need help. I need to get over this. Oh, have mercy. Envy. He said, envy. We can't be hating on other folks that's being blessed. and how your attitude toward other people will hinder you. Amen. Your attitude toward other people will hinder what God has for you. And so if you're getting mad because God ain't answered your prayer because their prayers have been answered, then you are wrong. You're messed up. Because don't you know if your order is a special order, that it might take him just a little bit longer to prepare what you need. Y'all don't hear me in here. If you, oh, Lord have mercy. If you go to the chicken place, if you go to the burger place, if you go anywhere and you order something special, they'll ask you to pull over to the side and wait. I wish I had somebody. And if we can do that for the chicken place and the hamburger place, how come we can't pull over and wait on the Lord? The Bible tells us to be of good courage and wait on the Lord. He tells us to wait patiently on him. He said, let patience have her perfect work. And why in the world we can't wait when it comes to the Lord? But if everybody else tell us to wait, you go get a job. They tell you, you got to wait till the next week or the next 2 weeks or even the next month before you get your money. But we can't trust God with a few days. We can't trust God with a few hours. And God is saying for us to wait on him and let him do his work. Y'all still with me here? We need to lay aside envy, hating on people just because. I ain't got what you got, so I hate you. You ain't do me right, so I hate you. You ain't speak to me right. Look, he said evil speaking, talking crazy. For us that in Louisiana. He said, quit talking crazy. Quit talking about other people. Look, I don't care if it's something that is true. It ain't your job to try to diminish somebody's reputation. Preach. Put that on your shoes. It's not your job to diminish someone else's reputation. It is your job to build them. It is your job to bless them, to help them, to show them that you can, how they ought to be in Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Now let me share this with you. There's a singer, I bet y'all all like her. She was on Sunday's Best, I believe it was, and she won. Her name is Landra Johnson. Now, she posted something on Facebook that I totally disagree with, because she says she's a pastor of Unperfect People Church. That's what she said. She pastor people who ain't perfect, because we ain't perfect, and that's fine. And that's dandy. That's good, but we ought to be trying to perfect. Now, what people didn't realize, she's pastoring unperfected people. Now, she was speaking against somebody that says his church name is Perfecting Church, and she says Unperfected Church. So they're going to clash anyway. So she got angry because he didn't speak to her. So she got on Facebook or whatever, social media, and she went on, cussing, talking about him, all this stuff, and then puffed a cigarette, blew it in the camera, and said, now go tell her that. She said, she used some words, the N word, the S word, the D word. She just was going off, Pastor Leandro. And, people came to her rescue and defended, leave her alone, let her do that. And she said she was tired of this Christianity BS. That's what she said. But the Christians came to rescue her when she said she's tired of them. It's okay, and that's good. Restore such a one. All right, that's okay. But the thing is that she has a problem and need to be healed. If she feels like her validation comes from somebody acknowledging her, then she's too immature to be leading people. I got my opinion and that's it. She shouldn't be leading people if Marvin Wine is speaking to her validates her. I don't care who don't speak to me. But it doesn't diminish who I am, because I know who I am in Christ. But she chose the evil speak. Now, which one of them is right? I'm not excusing the fact that he didn't speak, and maybe he had something going on. So who's going to defend him? But I am saying that she was wrong for getting on, making her a big post, making a big to-do about him saying, hello, how you doing? Because she diminished how people look at Christians. We are a mess. One minute you singing the power down, the next minute you cussing, and you're Periscope drinking. What in the world is going on? Hypocrisies, envies, evil speaking. Yes, we all have faults. Yes, we all have frailties. Yes, no one is perfect, but my object is to mature. So I don't have to talk about you because you don't like me. I'm just going to give you more to talk about. Because I'm going to be blessed whether you like it or not. I'm going to walk in the blessings of the Lord. I'm not going to let these things right here, these hindrances, being a hypocrite, envying people, talking evil, just doing stuff that ain't right, getting in all kind of stuff, letting anything come out of my mouth. You know, the Bible, Jesus tells us, it's not what goes in a man that defiles him, but what comes out of a man. So if what comes out of your mouth is lies and cussing and stuff that ain't true and all of this kind of stuff, and big talk, all of that kind of stuff, guess what? You are hindering your own self. We can speak ourselves into a mess and then want people to feel sorry for us to get out of it.
Yeah.
Got to stop that. Now, you done talked yourself down in a depression and you blaming everybody else why you depressed. Lord have mercy. Look, if you done told 15 people the same story and you feel bad, it's your fault. I'm going to tell you why. It's because you want people to feel sorry for you rather than help you up. Because out of 15, I'm sure one or two of them have told you some encouraging words. But you didn't hear that, so you went to the next person. If we stop at the one person that we can trust, take it to the Lord in prayer. Tell him all about it. Amen. I'm trying to help somebody. I ain't trying to make you happy. I'm just trying to help you. So we need to lay aside some things. We got to quit doing that. Do you know that the sheep that's bleeding and screaming and hollering for being hurt, that's the one the devil go to?
Yeah.
I'm going to show you why. You ever watch Discovery Channel?
Yeah.
Nobody watches but me? Okay, it's cool. But the lion looks either for somebody who's by themselves that got away from the herd or flock. Or he looked for the injured one. And the injured one becomes somebody, Lord have mercy, that ends up being devoured by the lion. So you need to watch how bad you're telling everybody you hurt. Because sooner or later the devil will. All right, let me move on, y'all. So I think I'm getting on somebody's nerves. But we need to stop because that's a hindrance. You can't walk in the blessings and live in the past. You can't walk in the blessings and hold on to the mess that you say that you let go of and you still in. Uh-huh. Come on and say amen. The Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. In other words, if you wishy-washy, one minute this is this way, the next minute you know this is the way, and the next minute there's something else, and then you go back to the first thing. If you wishy-washy, then the Bible said, don't expect to receive anything from God. Preach. Don't expect it. I'm telling you, don't expect it. Is it all right to talk to you like this? If it ain't, I'm still talking because I ain't going to get in trouble with God. Then it says, verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Now look at this. This is what we need to grow. We need first to lay aside our hindrances, right?
Yeah.
Then we need to long for the word.
Yeah.
You know what a longing is? A longing means I desire it so much that I can't rest. You know how if you don't buy that game for your child, how they go cry and they cry and they cry because you don't let them go somewhere, they cry. They long to go. It's their desire. That you know how it is. So you got to have a desire for the word.
Yeah.
The problem is we don't have a desire for the word until something goes wrong.
Amen.
We have to have a desire for the word. The Bible says that Job said, I esteem the word of God more than my necessary food. Amen.
know your hearts are filled with prayer through the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campton, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campton, Louisiana,